Welcome to Never Meet Your Idols,
a podcast where your idols get real, whether you like it or not.
Welcome to season two, episode
eight.
Yes, sure. We'll go with it. Episode eight of Never Meet Your Idols. We're your hosts. I'm Kuray.
And I'm Laura Mary.
And today we have on Ben Thatcher from Royal Blood.
Yeah.
Whereas you call him Benji.
Yeah. I call him Benji just because Steve and my band calls him that. I don't know. Maybe we'll just call him Ben.
It's more serious.
Yeah.
More regal.
Yeah. More royal.
More royal, exactly. Well, so Royal Blood's a two-piece.
Yeah.
But there are no guitars.
Bass, yeah.
Just bass and drums, and Ben plays drums. We've had a lot of drummers on this show.
I know.
Which is funny. I mean, I don't usually like drummers very much, but, you know, we'll take whoever we can get.
They're usually talkative, for sure.
Because they're like trying to compensate for
what?
The lack of attention they get.
Oh yeah.
Drummers are in back, yet they all usually have lead singer syndrome.
Yeah, well, you're telling me my drummer sings.
Sits in the front. I know.
And sits in the front.
Okay, here he is. Ready?
Here's your idol.
Ben Thatcher.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. I can.
Are you drinking?
Yes.
Well, let's get started right out of the gate. Only question we ask everyone is, have you met your idol? And if so, tell us about it.
Okay, so I've thought about this, and I think if I met my idol, then they're no longer my idol. I think an idol should be someone that you can't meet, that you just idolize. So, yeah, someone like Jesus, but not Jesus. Elvis, like someone that I just can't meet. Idols should be people that you can't touch and you can't talk to, like even if they're in the same room.
Have you met someone that you thought was your idol then and it ruined it for you?
No, I've met people that I might have idolized when I was younger.
Yeah.
But yeah, not really. And I'm not an idol person. I just think people are cool. I don't like obsess over anyone.
Yeah, that's how I am, except it's kind of the opposite. Like, I'm not an idol person, but I don't think anyone's cool. I'm like the cynical version of you.
Yeah. Right.
You must have some stories though. Like, you've met everyone. Tell us a fun story.
Okay, I've met a lot of people.
Yeah.
Who people would say were idols. I've got a great story. I found myself backstage at a Guns N' Roses concert, and it was just me, Axl, Slash, and Chris Rock. And I don't know what I was doing there, but they were all having a little conversation, and I said something, and Chris Rock came over and fist pumped me because he thought what I said was really funny.
What did he say?
I don't remember. I just remember the fist pump and thinking, wow, I'm in some kind of cool club here.
What was Chris Rock doing there?
I think he's a Guns N' Roses fan. Well, he must be.
You felt out of place, but then you were like, it was Axl Rose, Slash, and Chris Rock.
Yeah, no one else in the room. So I don't know what I was doing in that room.
Did you see their show? Are you a Guns N' Roses fan?
I am a Guns N' Roses fan, yes, and I did see the show. I think they were obviously a lot better in their day, but they can still wail.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I'm a big fan. What was Axl Rose looking like? Did he have his braids? No.
He had a hat on, like a big, what do you call him? Hat.
Did he have the bandana underneath the hat?
Yeah, he had the bandana under. Yeah, and I think he had a bandana in his pocket.
Yeah,
as well.
You know what that means?
Yeah, exactly. I can't remember what side it was on.
Yeah, that's
I think
important.
It was on both sides.
Cover Axl Rose covering all bases.
So I have, yeah, I don't know what signals he's trying to give there.
Did you talk to him or Slash or just Chris Rock?
I talked to them separately, but at that moment, it was just a comment. It was something very English and sarcastic. I don't remember what it was, but I remember feeling pretty cool.
You had Lars from Metallica play Take Over Your Drums once, didn't you?
I did. He's a mad guy. Absolutely lovely. We were playing with the Pixies when I first met him, and we had a really rough day. I remember it was a day coming from LA to San Francisco, and it was the first time we've ever been there. And we had to do press all day in a hotel room. And we were just hungover, and we wanted to go out in San Francisco and check it out. And we weren't able to. And we played a show. And the Pixies shows, although they were cool, the crowd was weird. Like, they're all seated and just were waiting for the Pixies to come on, basically. So we went on, had a bit of a rough show. And we're just sitting in the dressing room. We had a knock on the door. And yeah, I mean, this was like the first year of being in Royal Blood. So to have Lars turn up in your dressing room was pretty mad. And he took us out. We jumped in his car and went to Mrs. Doubtfire's house, which was rad.
Oh, and like the where they shot Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, in San Francisco. Awesome.
Yeah.
So did he just know where that was, or did you guys want to go there and you asked him, like, Lars Ulrich was your Uber driver and you were like, we need to go see the Mrs. Doubtfire house?
So it was him and his wife, and she was driving, he was drinking with us, and we said we want to go to Mrs. Doubtfire's house, and it was just up the road. And then we went over the Golden Gate Bridge. Actually, just before we went over the Golden Gate Bridge, we're just coming up to it, and he told his wife to slam on the brakes and turn around, and then he just jumped out the car, and we're like, what on earth is going on? And he just came back with a crate of beers. And he was like, if we're going to do this, we've got to do it properly. And we're all out like his sunroof drinking beers over the Golden Gate Bridge. It was rad. Also, Lars, the stories I've heard about Lars are like him being a dick. And yeah, so when we met him, I was expecting to not like him, but he was the most loveliest man.
Well, maybe he's like a reformed dick. So like, he was a dick, and then he realized, oh, I should stop being a dick. And then to compensate for all those years of being a dick, he's super awesome. Because did you see that
documentary? Maybe he can just turn it on. It's amazing, like, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
Dennis said he was really nice. The last guest we had, he said he was really nice as well.
Lars is nice.
Mm. Yeah, he's the best. And he plays a game that I'm really into at the moment called Rummy Cup. Have you ever played that?
Oh my God, wait one second. Suddenly, I like you a lot more. Hold up.
Right, what have we got?
I just learned what Rummy Cup was. And I like that you said Rummy Cup, because when it was taught to me, they said it was Rummy Cube, but I think Rummy Cup is cuter. So I just learned it, like how to play it a couple weeks ago, and I am killing it. I am the champion, undefeated champion of this household. There's only one other person in this household, but still, this is my travel set, very retro looking.
Amazing.
Oh, Laura, this is all we're going to be doing when you get here, but get ready for this.
Oh my gosh.
I just molded all of the tiles. Because I'm going to start making custom Rummy Cup sets with epoxy. Yes. Because I do a bunch of like epoxy sculpture and art stuff. I'm going to do custom whatever colors you want.
Incredible.
If you want, just hit me up. This is going to be my new career.
That's amazing.
Anyway, Laura.
Wow.
I don't even know what you're
talking
about.
It's this game that I'm really terrible at explaining it.
I mean, I've heard the name. You just have
it's
to
a little
me.
Bit. It's a little bit like Rummy, the card game.
This is what I've heard.
If you know how to play that.
That's probably what I was.
I think it's based on that. I've never played that before, but it's with tiles.
Oh,
it's all I think about.
Okay.
Rad. I play it on my phone.
Wait, there's a phone version?
There's an app.
What? Uh-oh.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Okay, podcast is over.
Yeah, you can do tournaments and everything. It's wicked.
Wow, I'm downloading it right now. So wait, did you know that yeah. Lars liked Rummy Cub before, or?
No, I saw his wife was playing it with him. And just, I found out that he was obsessed. And so we're going to play when I see him.
This is great news.
I don't think I've ever seen you this happy.
I know. Suddenly I have a purpose to keep going. A reason to live.
I'm impressed with how many versions of and you're making your own. Yeah. And that's insane.
I will let you know how it turns out.
Please
it's
do.
Gonna be, I'm making it for a friend of mine, and now I think I'm just gonna make multiple sets. I'm experimenting with many different colors. I want to make like a neon one.
Yeah, rad. You should make a glow in the dark one.
So we could play Rummy Cub in the dark.
Yeah, that's it.
Anyway, that's great. I'm tickled. So I guess we'll talk about music. You have a new record out, and it's number one on the charts.
Where is it? So I haven't actually gotten my record label haven't sent me my record yet, which is pretty terrible. I had to buy
it. Will you be reimbursed?
Yeah, I hope so. But they have I think it must be a joke, but they keep on sending me our single of Limbo, like on vinyl. And I'm not kidding you. I don't know why I keep on getting them sent in like groups of five, and I've not.
Who's
like,
your record
I asked
label?
Them once. Yeah, Warner Brothers.
No wonder, fucking slackers.
Yeah, clowning around. Fucking Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny is our A&R guy.
Right. The secret to success.
That's it.
Two pieces usually rub me the wrong way because I'm like, I need bass, but you guys don't have guitar.
No. He does make it sound like guitars though, so he's kind of just cheating it in the other way that Laura would do it.
Yeah, it's like I try to make my guitar sound like a bass. Like the other way. Yeah,
see, the thing with Mike is he likes to make whatever instrument he's playing sound like something else. So he was playing a guitar and he was making it sound like a bass. And then he got the bass and he wants to make it sound like a guitar. And now he's, with this new album, he's like making the bass sound like a synthesizer. So he just can't pick up the right instrument.
Or every instrument's the right instrument.
Yeah, but exactly. Where I'm just either got the drums or like a penny whistle or like...
I like that sound. We should have that on our podcast.
Actually, that could be the new podcast jingle.
There you go.
Yeah.
And if someone says something like wrong or weird, just like...
That's what you could do to me all the time. That's all I'll know.
I'd be like, shut up. That's like that Delight song I love.
Which song?
Groove is in the Heart.
Oh, yeah. Groove is in the Heart. That's how they did it. Now we know.
Yeah.
Maybe I could do your intro on the Pan Pipes.
We need a new intro. There you go. You're hired.
We do.
You really I need to practice us with your audition just now.
see, this is exactly how I got into Mike's first band.
Your charm. It was your
now
charm.
We're seeing it all.
Yeah, because they already had a drummer. I told them I could play guitar, which I couldn't, but I bought a guitar and I learned all their songs. And that was our first band.
So you talked your way into the band and then you talked him into getting rid of all the other members.
Yes, pretty much. And then, we just changed. Well, after the beginnings of Royal Blood were... I was getting older. Mike's a little bit younger than me, and I was getting fed up of playing shows and not getting paid any money, and that was pretty boring. And I didn't, we had to beg our friends to come. I didn't want to do that anymore. So I started doing wedding bands because people love a wedding. They're always going to be fun. There's going to be people there who want to get drunk and enjoy themselves. So, and you get money. And yeah, but then Mike came back from Australia and he had some really good songs and I was bored of playing wedding music. So yeah.
Josh from Queens of the Stone Age produced your last record or this latest one?
He did one of the songs on the record and two of the B-sides. We were on tour with Queens of the Stone Age and then when we finished, we started writing again and Mike, the other guy in the band, went and did the Desert Sessions.
Okay, yeah.
Which is where, yeah, Josh brings loads of people together in the desert. And so then Mike saw Josh like producing and he was like, we've got to do something with him. And by this time, we were really good friends with him. So it was kind of an easy start off point for us going to write. And he just made it so much fun. He has loads of wigs in his studio. And if you put a wig on and play an instrument, you become a different person. It's like almost like putting on a nice jacket when you're walking on stage. You have a different strut. Do you feel a bit more confident? Where with a wig, you can like become Roy from Antwerp or whatever. And Roy plays well different. He plays drums. He's a maniac.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I like creating like personas for me.
And now some questions from the public.
Robin, what would you say to someone who wants to do what you do when they grow up?
I was going to say, don't.
Don't fucking do it.
I've got many questions for Robin of why he wants to do what he wants to do. Why does he want to be me all of a sudden?
Yeah, why? What is it?
Why, Robin?
Why?
Robin, do your own thing, man.
Walk your own path.
This is a funny question. A question from John Smith. Ben, why did you steal Blood Red Shoes Thunder? That is a question I want to ask you, Ben. Why did Royal Blood come into...
What was it? Sorry?
Why did you... Oh, shit.
I think we just brought the lightning to Blood Red Shoes' Thunder.
Yeah, that's a good...
We worked together.
There is a weird... I've already kind of messed up the name by being like, Blood Red Royal Blood Shoes. But I thought you came from Brighton too. Right?
Who?
Me?
You, Ben, sorry. You.
I come from a little village near Brighton, but pretty much Brighton. I lived here since I was quite young.
So what's up with these Brighton bands and their blood names?
Yeah, I don't know. I would like to put up my hands and say I didn't come up with the name.
Is that Mike?
That was Mike, who also writes the lyrics and most of the music. So
Mike went to your show, Laura.
The fuck you, Mike.
Mike went to a Blood Red Shoes show and came back to Ben and was like, I have a great band name.
Yeah.
So my band's been around for like 17 years and we were like in the studio one time. And I think we had to move our gear out of our lockup or something because you guys were moving into our lockup room. I think we didn't need the amount of space and you guys did. And I didn't know who you were. And I remember like one of the guys that worked at Brighton Electric was like, oh yeah, like there's this new band. They're a new two-piece like rock band. And I was like, oh really? And I was like, what are they called? He was like, Royal Blood. I was like, oh. I was like, two-piece rock band. And I was like, okay. But then
I remember clearing the spit off my drum kit.
And I was like, oh, okay. And I was like thinking, all right. And then you guys like blew up and I was like, fucking bands coming up.
Yeah. Took over our rehearsal space.
Yeah.
Took over our country. Yeah.
And now everyone's like, you're not the Brighton two-piece band anymore.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah, you are. You are to me.
There's enough space for There's enough space for two of us.
This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
But not that Blood Shoes Royal.
Blood Shoes Royal, my favorite band.
We just need to do like, super group.
Yeah, you guys. Yeah. There is enough space for all of you because two pieces equal the size of one regular band.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's, that is true.
Frank's to Frank, aka Andrew, aka that guy he took to Nando's, aka that guy that showed up to the DC rooftop with the Glastonbury Inception shirt. Supposedly you'll know what that means.
I do, yes.
You do.
Yeah, you seem stoked. Yeah. You're like, uh-huh.
The guy's a big fan and comes to a lot of our shows all around America. Matt Helders wore a t-shirt of Royal Bloods at Glastonbury. And when we played at Glastonbury, I wore a t-shirt of Matt Helders wearing the t-shirt of him playing at Glastonbury. And then this guy had done another t-shirt of, I think, him. Oh, I can't remember what it was.
It was something,
that's the Inception thing going on there. And then, but anyway, this guy is, you know, he's a nice guy. He comes to all of our shows, big, like, support our band. So I took him to Nando's once.
Classic.
And I've, you know, heard about it every day since I've done it.
It's kind of the equivalent of you having Lars Ulrich take, you know, you guys to the Golden Gate Bridge and Mrs. Doubtfire. You taking this guy to Nando's, it's like that.
It kind of,
so you're like messaging me? Lars all the
time. Like, do you want to play Rummy Cup?
Remember that night we played Rummy Cup? Remember that? But his question is, after your extensive touring with Queens of the Stone Age and seeing how frequently and significantly they change their live set list from show to show, is that something you and Mike would consider now that your discography has grown a bit? Having a few rotating, shifting slots for older album tracks or even B-sides,
he wasn't finished.
Still playing all the meat and potatoes, that would normally make the set list. Well, he's pretty demanding too.
Okay. Yes, we will change the set list because we've got new songs just for you. I guess he's saying that they change it from show to show, but I think when you're putting on a show, you find out things that really work together and things that make the set really great. And it's a bit of, it's good to change it up for your own sake, but I think you know what songs go well together best and how to put on the best set list together.
I think maybe fans should just trust that you guys have an understanding of what you're doing and why.
Yeah. I guess the thing with Andrew is he comes to a lot of our shows. So he sees Queens of the Stone Age changing their set list and maybe not us. But that was because we're a support band and we were playing to a lot of other people, not just Andrew. Also, a lot of these shows, people are seeing you for the first time. And something you want to put on the best, your best songs together and not play too long. I don't want to play all my songs. Yeah, I want to play just the best ones.
Yeah. I think I was, one of the times I saw Swans, Michael Giro, like, of course, it was 3 hours into the set, three songs in, no AC, loud as hell, and an audience member started, like, yelling out requests. It's like, why would you ever try that with that guy? It's not going to happen. And he stopped playing and he says, "We make the food, you eat it." And that was it. I was like, yes.
Sounds like something Laura would say. Have you guys done your idols yet?
Not really. We did like an episode where we talked about people, but I don't know.
So I'm going to ask you the question.
Okay.
Who are your idols? What about, like non-music then? Now you've got me thinking. I think Steve Carell. I think he's my idol.
Yeah, I think non-music's more fun. This is one of those like music podcasts with people who don't even like ever want to talk about music. We're always like, do we have to talk about music?
Yeah.
But Steve Carell, it's a good one. A couple days ago, I was at, you know, that French actress, Julie Delpy. I was at her house and like, she's a pretty big deal. There were other actors there who were pretty big deals, you know? And of course I just had no interest except for the food table, you know, like eating cake. I'm like, oh, free food. And then this guy shows up, this actor who I know him as Shane from The Shield. Have you seen the show The Shield? Okay.
No.
It's like from 1999, LA corrupt cop show. Really bad, but really good. And the main star is that guy who played the commish, this fat bald guy. Anyway, point is Shane from The Shield was one of his sidekicks on the show. And he walked into this party and I was like, oh my God, it's Shane from The Shield. It's Shane from The Shield. He was sitting next to me on the couch eating. I was like, I had to turn my back to him because I couldn't hide the excitement.
Shane from the Shield.
I get that when I've seen a few like EastEnders casts, which is, you probably don't know what EastEnders is.
Oh, you told me that soap opera.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The soap opera. Yeah. When I was younger, I saw some of the cast in a diner, late night diner, and I just like lost my mind. I just couldn't believe they were there eating burgers.
They're real people.
I think idols that you had growing up are the ones that you see now and you're freaked out by them.
Yeah.
Just Shane because from of that the Shield, nostalgia. Yeah. Shane from this, yeah, exactly. I think if I met one of the gladiators, I'd go mad, like Jet from the gladiators.
The gladiators.
Is it like Ultimate Warrior?
Yeah, they do like jungle gyms for adults.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's it. And so Jet was one of the gladiators back in the 90s. Who
I remember Jet.
Yeah, she was hot stuff.
Yeah, she was cool. I thought she was really cool.
So if you were to see Jet in the grocery store, would you get a little flustered?
Jet would be my Shane Shields.
Shane from The Shield.
Was his name?
I think his real name's Walton Goggins, but he's forever Shane from The Shield for me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's got more of a ring to it.
I think so.
Shane from The Shield. It's like from The Shire, isn't it?
Oh my God. But I can't wait for you guys. Just please Google image him when we end this, because you're going to be like, what the fuck?
I want to do it now.
Shane from The Shield. It's intense. His teeth are really intense.
It's a great band name.
Yeah, that is.
Shane from The Shield.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Rants and raves.
Something you're really into right now, and then something you really hate right now.
Something that I really like right now, it happened just this weekend, but I didn't realize how into the Eurovision I was. Like, the Eurovision Song Contest is like one massive party. I wanted to have a Eurovision party, but no one wanted to join me. But
is it like American Idol?
Like,
what's the equivalent?
It's really hard to explain. It's like a talent show from each country in Europe, but it without like well-known bands or artists. And it's pretty extravagant. A lot of money goes into the production, and it can be the most camp thing you've ever seen in your life, or the most like odd and weird thing. But it's just, you get behind each country and you want them to do so well. And I wanted to throw a party, but no one wanted to join my Eurovision party. I was so into it. It's so intense. I was like, I didn't know what to do with myself.
What country were you rooting for?
Italy, who did win.
Is that who won? I didn't even realize.
Yeah, they're a rock band.
And what about your... That was your rave, right? Yeah, what's your rant? What are you not into right now?
What am I not into?
Besides Warner Brother Records sending you a bunch of spam.
Do you know what? I was just, when you said that, I was just looking at that pile of records. Yeah. What I don't like is waste.
You hear that, Warner Brothers?
I keep on getting the same record that I did. I don't need it.
He knows what's on there.
I don't need 40 of them.
Waste.
I'm gonna have to give these away to people that also don't want them.
Well, thank you. Thanks for being.
Yeah,
look, we'll end on this.
For the listener, Corey shows a photo of Shane from The Shield.
No, shut up.
Wow.
Starstruck.
Shame. I understand why you'd be so starstruck though, because if you just saw him, like, it couldn't be anyone else.
It's like that guy. Like, now you guys are gonna recognize him forever.
Yeah.
So when you see that guy, you could be like, Shane from the Shield. Yeah.
Wow.
Good talk. All right. Well, thanks for being on here. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Pleasure. See ya. Bye.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Never Meet Your Idols.
Join us next time when we welcome Ian Asprey from The Cult.
To submit questions for us or our guests, email us at nevermeetyouridols@gmail.com.
Or send us a message or voice memo on Instagram at Never Meet Your Idols Podcast.
Until next time, I'm Kare.
And I'm Laura Mary.
See you next Tuesday.